I'm Brian.
And I'm Reggie.
And this is the R&B Talks Holiday Extravaganza.
Ho, 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 sucker.
That's right. Save the neck for me, Clark.
Cheered full.
Well, folks, it's holiday season. As you can tell by our holiday attire,
our accoutrement,
our style, it is time for that time of year where we enjoy ourselves, be ridiculous, and celebrate Christmas. So welcome, Reginald. What's on your mind, buddy?
I have nothing on my mind. It's completely blank.
I don't either, man. It's the holidays. I don't really want things.
Well, I'm off work. There's a lot of times where I take 2 weeks off in the holidays because it's like Christmas week and New Year's week. Really, no one does anything for business. So why even be around? So it's like I just, you know, take off whatever I can around that time. But because no one does anything anyway, I thought, well, what a waste of your vacation because you're like, you really don't do anything anyway.
Yeah, you're not really getting a break, so to speak.
It's just, you know. So I took off these 2 days this week before the Christmas week, and I'm working during Christmas week. And so you know, it's one of those – today I absolutely did not want to do anything, like nothing. I had all this stuff planned out yesterday. I was like, okay, so today I'm going to go out and I got this one tree I need to cut down. I got this one tree I want to cut up, and I got this. And I had all these things I was going to run out and do today. I was so excited about it.
You didn't do any of them.
No, I didn't
not
do nothing.
A single one.
I did nothing. I went to the hot tub with the girls after breakfast this morning, and I got out of the hot tub and I'm like, man, what do I want to do?
I own a sauna.
Ooh, you own a sauna.
My wife for Christmas bought me something that I have wanted all year long, and that is a portable sauna. So I am going to be now saunaing 5 days a week.
Awesome. I don't sauna.
Man, the health benefits of that are just astronomical.
I know, but like it's that one thing. It's also you should do cold plunges, you should do this, you should do that. If you did everything everybody told you to do, you'd have like a whole acre full of like
but I personally enjoy sauna.
Like I get
me
that.
Personally, I really like you enjoy a good cigar. I enjoy a 45-minute schwitz in a nice hot sauna.
I do like
I feel
sauna.
Like $1 million after I walk out.
I love the sauna. I like the hot tub. I like the steam rooms and stuff. I mean, all that stuff is great and all, but it's just, there's so much of it. Holy cow though. You know what I mean? Like cold plunges or the hot tubs or the saunas or the infrared things or any number of all this crap. Anyway. Yeah. That's cool, man. I'm glad you had a sauna.
It's been a cool thing that's happened, you know, like, things are going great at the new job, really going well. You know, just, you know, I will say that my grandfather passed away, which, you know, creeping up on 90, man, kind of sort of, you know, lived a great life, long life, you know, God bless him. I hope everything's great up top and he's looking down on everybody and smiling and enjoying, you know, the life. I'm of course there's family drama and I'm not gonna get into all that, but I'm really not sad. I think he, you know, for lack of a better term, did his time, right? And it was his time to go. When God cashes in your ticket, you're going whether you want to go or not. So I was listening to some Christmas music today, Reggie.
Why?
That's the question I asked myself after I listened to the Christmas music. And all right, I have a question. I know you're not a big Christmas music fan, but what is your least favorite Christmas music? What's your least favorite Christmas song?
I mean, pretty much anything pop. Like any pop Christmas song ever.
There's not one that pops to mind that makes you want to like gouge out your eardrum and maybe stick your head in the toilet.
That's what I'm saying. They all do.
For me, it's Mariah Carey, man. Like, I just can't.
That's just so, well, okay. That's so overdone. That's why. But it's, well,
it's not even that. All right. So I worked in retail.
You're going to hear it 50,000
times. At St. Matthew's Mall, I worked at retail. And they started playing Christmas music right around the first week of October. And the way it worked was you would be working and there would be normal crappy mall music. And then if from time to time, they would sprinkle in a Christmas song first week of October. And you were like, oh, crap. And then by the end of October, that's all they were playing. We hadn't even gotten to the month of Thanksgiving yet. It was full swing. And Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You was the third song every rotation. I wanted to literally take my pinky toe and jam it in my eye after about the 600th time I heard that song.
I knew that's the one you were going to say because that's one. There, I guess it's just cliche now that everybody hates that song.
Actually, there's one more, and that's Santa Claus Is Coming to Town by the Jackson 5. Like, I get it. I get it.
No.
You're tiny. You're entertaining. You wanted to do something Christmassy.
I don't like it. That's one of the any popular Christmas song you're going to hear on as you're shopping.
Fair enough. Okay, my next question. This is going to be controversial. Are you ready? Controversial. What is your least favorite Christmas hymn?
I really don't have like a least favorite, dude, because like I don't really have anything wrong. I don't have anything wrong any of the hymns, like traditional Christmas hymns. So you're talking like Holy Night, Silent Night. Yeah.
What's your favorite?
Three Kings.
What's your favorite?
I don't really have a favorite Christmas hymn, dude. For one, we don't do hymns very often at all. Like I know in like the last 20 years of my existence, there's not been.
Well, the hymnal's sort of made an exit from the church anyway.
Yeah, that's right? What I mean. Like, so like, and which I do find that's kind of wrong, by the way.
Well, I'm not saying there shouldn't, that they should have, but I'm saying I don't think there's anything wrong. Like one of the cool things, my dad used to go to a pretty small church called Gravel Switch Baptist Church. And one of the things that I liked about them is they would do maybe some old school bluegrass hymnal gospel stuff. And then they might do a song or two that was a tad more modern. So you got a good mix of both.
Well, so I mean, you shouldn't just. I think a lot of the modern churches are just getting away from hymnals altogether, and I think that's just bad. And I mean, and you still have some modern people who are trying to remake hymnals and do hymnals their own way. But no, I think anyway. But no, that's what I mean. It's just really not around that much anymore. And I don't. It's so I know some of them just because of knowing them, but I don't have like I really like the. Cause there's so many versions of like Holy Night or Silent Night that are just fantastic. So it's like not the hymnal themselves, but the renditions of them some of those are pretty freaking awesome.
I would say my favorite Christian Christmas song would probably be, and I don't even know if this is a Christian Christmas song or a Christmas song, but it always seems to pop up at Christmas, is the Hallelujah Chorus.
Yeah. And I mean, I like pretty much anything from like the Sinatra era.
Oh, yes.
Of Christmas songs, dude. Like I could listen to those all day. It'd be fine. Nat King Cole and
Sinatra's,
all those guys.
Sinatra's version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is pretty good.
Who are those other guys? I mean, like any of those other guys like that back then, right? I mean,
my personal favorite, and it's mainly because I'm a huge Chuck Berry fan, is Run Run Rudolph. I don't know why, but even since I was a kid, I'm a fan of Elvis's Christmas Time. Christmas Time, baby. That's a good song. I like that. I love to hear choir music Christmas. Like a choir doing, you know, I like the Ronettes when they did Walking in a Winter Wonderland, you know, a little bit of that old school Motown stuff. I like that.
I would say that when you hear a really great arrangement of Carol of the Bells in like a symphony with a choir type of thing, that's freaking amazing. There are some classical stuff that once they that it's just phenomenal. Organ music that's really cool is Christmas music, you know.
Dude, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I'm not much on organ music. It wears me out.
Oh, I love it, dude. I can't say all of it.
I don't mind organ as an accompaniment in music, but if you're just asking me to straight jam to some organ music, I'm gonna have to go. I might probably say nay.
I think you got to understand though, if you've actually been to hear like a massive pipe organ, and you've been in that room when somebody knew how to play it. That's fair enough.
I've never done that.
That is an experience all in itself, dude. I'm telling you, some of these huge pipe organs are so loud. They're amazing. And they will shake the very foundation that you're on. So like some of these Vidor organ pieces, dude, are just, it's just incredible, man.
Yeah.
So I'll just say that, but yeah, I mean,
all right.
You know, here or there.
Least favorite Christmas food.
Fruitcake.
Dude, amen. Fruitcake. I was going to say figgy pudding, but I've never actually had figgy pudding and really don't know what it looks like or tastes like.
So I've had like actual good fruitcake, but man, that is like really, really rare, right? Most of the time it's dry and it like has it just tastes so weird.
Well, if your fruitcake comes shrink-wrapped in a red box, cardboard, it says Schlint on it somewhere, that's not good fruitcake. I'll be honest with you. I've never had good fruitcake.
You know. It's few and far between, bro. I mean, that's what fruitcake is a, you know, I know where it came from, right? It was like, hey, we got all this fruit left over. What are we going to do with it? Let's put it in a cake. Thanks, Jill.
Let's put some apples, some grapes.
Might as well be a Karen.
Dude, raisins. First of all, I don't like raisins anyway.
I love raisins, though.
And then you start putting raisins in my food, we're going to have a problem.
I like raisins.
And here's the reason I say I don't like raisins. All right, so if I handed you a bag of grapes that I bought at the grocery store, and they were all shriveled up in the bottom of the bag, would you eat them?
No.
Then why would you buy a box of shriveled up grapes and eat them?
Then why would you buy a box of any dehydrated fruit?
Well, it's the difference between dehydrating fruit and a nasty grape and a nasty raisin.
No, it's nasty, not. Raisins, it's the same thing. Nasty. It's a dehydrated grape.
Raisins are nasty.
No, raisins are amazing. Raisins are
nasty.
They're okay. Amazing for you too, by the way.
Most, what Christmas food do you love the most?
Well, see, so everything's changed so much, dude. Since, you know, when you were a kid and you were eating your grandma's whatever and mom's whatever, that was so different than now, right? Because like when we were a kid, well, at least when I was a kid, right? We go to my grandmother's on my dad's mom on a Christmas Eve. Christmas Day would be, what we usually do? We go to my dad's in the morning,
right on,
and have like Christmas. Or what was it like backwards?
Christmas brunch?
No, because Dad didn't cook. So I can't remember what we
used. So what did you do for food?
No, that's what I'm trying to think of. We used to, like, my mom would wake up and have breakfast. Okay. Like, we used to have a huge Christmas breakfast.
Yeah.
Right? And then we go over to my dad's later on.
Yeah.
Or we go to my dad's Christmas Eve morning.
Yeah.
And then go to my grand. Anyway, but and then we'd end up going to my mother's side of the family, the extended family, later on in like January or something, and meet up then, right?
Yeah.
So all of those had way different foods, yeah. You know? Like, I remember when we go to Christmas Eve at my grandmother's house, there'd be like a really good ham that was usually always really good. Like, she'd have all the traditional country fixings and chicken and dumplings and all kinds of stuff.
Chicken and dumplings, so good.
So it was all good, you know? Yeah. And there was mounds of cakes and pies and everything else.
I have a particular favorite, and the problem is I'll never have that particular favorite again. My grandmother was an amazing cook, but unfortunately she never wrote anything down. So all the recipes that my grandmother made died with her.
Gotcha.
her jam cake with walnuts. It was like biting into angel tears. Like it was that good. Like it was disturbing how good it was. Now my uncle makes a very close second, and this is no disrespect, Dave, if you're listening. I know you're a listener. He makes a Jewish coffee cake that is absolutely fire. But my grandmother's jam cake, like it was literally one of those things that when it was gone, you would start to look forward to having it next year. Hmm. And when she passed away, recipe went with her. So I'll never have that again.
My grandmother used to make this black walnut fudge.
Ooh.
Out of black walnut she had every year.
Yeah.
And it was, and peanut butter, by the way. So she would make fudge. She would make black walnut. She'd make peanut butter fudge. She'd make regular chocolate fudge. All this stuff. She made fudge. Made a lot of fudge. That stuff, bro, don't get me going, man. That was the best stuff on earth, I guess. That would definitely be what my best of all time foods during the holidays would be, was her peanut butter and black walnut fudge, especially kind of thing. That was just stupid. She had these, like, you know, those metal containers, tins of things, you know, that old used ones and stuff, the holiday ones, beat all to hell, used them 50 times.
They were up in like the attic in a box and you had to get them down for her. I mean, yeah.
She had like 100 of these things, you know, and that. But then, you know, we, at my mom's and stuff on Christmas Day, it was just like we'd have like, they make a bunch of cinnamon rolls and eggs and bacon and stuff, right? It was just good breakfast food. You just had some good breakfast.
Yeah.
But my mom could make some killer biscuits and gravy too.
Dude, I don't eat that stuff, but I love biscuits and gravy.
Oh, bro. Yeah. And then, you know, over the years now, you know, it's different, man, because I'm cooking. I'll usually bring some brisket or something to.
All right, so let me tell you guys something in case I haven't told you this before. Reggie can burn. Like, Reggie can cook. Like, Reggie scares me a little with how well he cooks.
Mm.
Like, I could get fat and happy eating Reggie's food. Like, is that kind of good cooking?
Well, I can.
So,
I can smoke stuff, dude. And I
don't know. You've cooked a few things. They were pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, you're not bad on the stove.
No, but my problem with cooking on the stove is that I'd rather not do the box stuff, right? So, if I'm going to cook something, I'm buying raw everything and I'm gonna make it all.
That's why it's so good.
And it is so time consuming though. I never have that time, right?
For real.
But yeah, I'm usually smoking something, frying a turkey or smoking a turkey or doing a ham or something like that. And what I want to do with the ham now, mm-hmm. I need to get a ham, like a whole ham leg.
Yeah.
And then brine it myself and then smoke it like it's supposed to be. Because what all the stuff you're going to find at the stores are all going to be pre-cooked, pre-smoked stuff. You're just heating them up, right? Put basting in them, something. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to go back and do the whole thing, right? I want to do a holiday ham for air. Now, you can cure a holiday ham without doing any of that with a certain thing, but it takes like, you know, over a year kind of thing to let it sit out if you're going to do that. Anyway, I digress, but holiday ham is usually done with a brine. That's really the key. And that brine kind of gives it that holiday ham flavor. Otherwise it's just it really does taste like pulled pork. If you just smoke a ham leg, it tastes like pulled pork.
Fair enough. Right. What about, I don't want to say worst Christmas memory because that's not what I'm going after. What about a funny, bad Christmas memory? Got any of those?
No. I mean, I'm sure there's been really bizarre, weird, funny things. But like, I don't know anymore. It's so hard to remember that, right? I mean, here's what I'll tell you. Ever since my girls were born, it seems like just that is consuming all of my brain power and like all this other stuff that was there is just magically just gone.
Mine is 15 years old. My uncle and I were up. It was like 2 or 3 days before Christmas. My grandmother used to make bourbon balls. They were good. So we wanted to make bourbon balls. Well, I wasn't a drinker at 15 years old. So we get in the kitchen. We don't have a recipe. We're guessing. So somehow we managed to coagulate these white bourbon balls that we dipped in chocolate. Well, we didn't think that you should meter the amount of bourbon in there. We weren't that smart. So we put 2/5 of bourbon in a single batch of bourbon balls.
Sounds like a
woo. And then we sat down and ate a couple before we went to bed that Saturday night. I don't remember anything until I got up that morning. Like, apparently those are some freakishly potent bourbon balls. Second would be my great grandparents. They were very poor. My great grandfather was a dairy farmer most of his life. So every year they would get all of us the same thing. My uncles, their great grandkids, all of them get the same things. You got a pack of socks from the Dollar General store, and you got a box of expired chocolate covered cherries. And when I say expired, Reggie, I mean, you open the box and the chocolate has turned white. Like, it's no longer brown. It's brown-esque, maybe caramel. And my grandmother, because she wanted my great grandparents to feel like we were grateful, she would make us all sit down and eat chocolate covered cherries in front of my great grandparents. And you have never seen three guys gack through a chocolate covered cherry. Like, to this day, I don't care how good it is or how quality it is. I can't even look at one. Like, it makes me nauseous.
Okay. That does remind me of something. I adore my great aunt Rosie and Uncle Nelfel, who I used to live by. Just fantastic people, fantastic family, by the way. Just really, really great. But she made this thing called a sour meat pie, and I've actually even mentioned it before.
Yeah, you told me this story.
And the one Christmas, it was after my mom died, right? So we're at that Christmas, whatever, and they're like, and they bring down a mountain of food all the time. And her choice during the holidays was to bring down, like, I don't remember how many it was. There was a bunch of these freaking meat pies, dude. Sour meat pies. And let me tell you, if there's a food I do not like the most, it is that sour meat pie. Even though she was like really famous for these things, right? And I don't know, but they were just, we hated them. Me and my brothers all just, like, it was like, bleh, you know? So yeah, if there was a least favorite food, it's probably that one. And I mean, look, I was really thankful for what she brought down to us, though. I mean, for real, because that was like really
hard times, man. Right?
I mean, you know, but it was always funny how, and I think this is what's gone with our, we were talking about with community, and the holidays are a great example. Like, we used to be able to just go and walk in some places and be like, it'd be like extended family or whatever. Hey, I'm just stopping by for the holiday. You know, hey, wish you a Merry Christmas, whatever. Oh, have you eaten? Here's this, you know. Nobody does anything like that anymore.
No, they don't, man. They you know, and that's something I appreciate about my wife's family is they have kept those traditions alive. Like Christmas Eve, we go to her uncle's house, and it's just, you know, he reads, you know, Christmas stories and gets the family around, and you know, you get, and everybody's just very loving and social, and we eat together and we talk and we catch up, and you know, and Julie's parents are very strong about having family together on the holidays, and my family is pretty much vanished, dude. Like, the passing of my grandfather, there's not many of us left. I think right now it's just me and my uncle and my aunt.
Yeah. I'm trying to find this thing.
So it's just a very, you know, it's very nice to have those traditions, you know, those things that are most important. What do you think is the most underappreciated? And I think I already know the answer to this question, Reggie. What do you think is the most unappreciated aspect of Christmas?
I just don't think you can appreciate the birth of Christ enough. So if you want to say the most underappreciated, yeah, that's one. For sure. Especially nowadays.
I think the most underappreciated aspect of Christmas is the opportunity that it presents. You know, I've had some pretty meaningful conversations with people at Christmas time, people who are searching and who are hurting and heartbroken, and they've, you know, endured loss. And I've had great opportunities to have conversations with people. And I think the unappreciated part is, you know, we have our families and our children and our health and all those things. And there are so many people out there that don't have it. So we need to take those opportunities to connect to those people, right? And family ain't always blood, right? Like sometimes you can find family members wherever you're standing.
Yeah. Here's what I mean. I'll call him a friend. He works same place I do. His Uncle Jimmy died, and what he posted was one of the things that he really remembered his Uncle Jimmy saying was, stop by anytime, knock with your feet.
All right, I've never heard knock with your feet.
It just means that you're just come by just anytime, come on in.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, it's kind of how we are here.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't.
Dude, when I come to Reggie's house, I just walk on in.
Yeah, we do.
I do identify myself.
You got to, or you get shot. But
yeah, I don't want to get shot. But I do just walk on in. Yeah.
So, you knock with your feet, bro.
I do.
But I mean, that's the thing. Like, and I think it's just because as we've gotten these, we've left so far, we've spread out so much, our families have, because of just going where the opportunity is.
Yep.
That we've ended up just vastly apart, you know, and it's during the holidays, man, in other words, during the holidays, it used to be so big. These gatherings were so big of people, be like 50 freaking people, right?
Yeah.
That would be, and that's just the aunts and uncles and cousins and all that stuff. And now they are not even close to that, dude, you know,
12 people.
But I mean, also too, we're at the point in our, like, well, me and you both, you know, we still have kids.
Yeah.
We don't have adults yet who are having kids. Right. And I don't think you're going to get to those, you know, it's like that chasm between your grandmother's family and she's no longer there. So they don't get together anymore. And then your parents, okay, they're not there anymore. So then now it's just you. So then now it's your turn to
to build the tradition.
Yeah.
Well, and I remember too, one of the things I remembered was, you know, we'd have our Christmas gatherings at my grandmother's house, my grandparents' house, and it wouldn't just be family members. We'd have, you know, friends show up and, you know, they'd bring their girlfriends and, you know, sometimes, I mean, I remember my Uncle Les used to have a yearly Christmas party. There'd be 100 people there. And we all knew each other. There was nobody there that didn't know each other, right? In some way, shape, or form. You know, whoever my cousin Russell's next girlfriend was with him. And, you know, but it was always a good time and fun. And I think one of the things that frustrates me about the whole Christmas season is, for me, you know, underappreciating the element of family. And you got to understand, and I say this all the time, but family for me blood does not necessarily denote family to me. So, you know, making that time to get the family together and the friends together, and you don't need to bring gifts, bring a little food and everybody sit around and talk and just man, I tell you what, there's nothing I appreciate more than people's time as of late. Right. Like if you show up for me, dude, you're high on my list. Right. Like if you show up for me, you're batting 1,000. Right. Like I don't need anything from you. I'm fed, clothed and healthy. I don't need you to show up with a plate full of anything or a bag full of toys or whatever it is that you're coming with. Right. You might do that for the kids. In my mind, that's a child's expectation. Right. Like, and it doesn't mean I don't appreciate a gift. Like my wife, you know, my wife really needed some running shoes. My wife is one of those people that just amazingly will sacrifice to no end. So I bought her a pair of running shoes for Christmas.
Right.
You know, I wanted a portable sauna. I've wanted one for 2 years. She found this really super sweet deal on a portable sauna and bought me a portable sauna. But that we don't normally buy each other stuff for Christmas. Like this is just one of those years where we just happen to have the opportunity.
Okay. I buy things for my wife as often as I can.
Yeah. Like, I'll do what I can, but I don't wait for Christmas.
No, that's what I mean. Like, if, cause I mean, there's a lot of things that are, you know, expensive or not or whatever, but usually if my wife wants something, I'm going to try to get it for her. Right. Yeah. I mean, and I don't wait for anything. I just get it.
Yeah.
But at the same token, we're not gift. We don't, I mean, neither one of our love languages are gift giving.
Yeah. My love or language gifts, is physical, and my wife's is words of encouragement. And I will honestly say that I do not give her, I try as often as I can, but I probably do not provide her with enough words of encouragement, but I try as often as I can to tell her that she's a good mother, that she's a good wife, that she's a good, you know, she's a great worker. That she's sacrificial, all those things. Right. You know, but it's just, you know, I feel like that's, for me, is a very lost aspect of this Christmas season is, man, it's time to get everybody together and just find out how their year's been. You know, give somebody a hug and tell them you missed them, right? You know, get sit down and have a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it is, dude. I mean, you can't. I think we just got to get over this whole isolationistic attitude. Now, not everybody's like that, dude. No. And I think it's just for me. There's always somebody in the family trying to cause something going on. I mean, there's just that. I think that's just the nature of it. But my family has changed so much over the last, you know, 30 years. I mean, good grief. It's a different story today than it was 20 years ago, for sure. So it's
We live in a society where division is the norm now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we, I don't know, we're doing all right as far as community goes. We get together with her family. We get together with mine and we do that kind of thing, and we're still going to do that. And that's important. But, I will say this. I remember clearly why I don't wear sweaters.
Cause you're probably boiling.
No.
Why?
It itches. I don't like the way sweaters feel.
Excuse me, folks. I'm going to do an experiment. It's actually a soft sweater, man.
It is. I don't like it. This is why I don't wear sweaters.
Hoodies are my thing, dude. If you're going to catch me anything long sleeve, it's going to be a hoodie.
My wife was talking. I have a hoodie that says, you know, your lack of cheer is disturbing. It's Darth Vader.
Oh, I like that.
That's very cool. That's my favorite holiday one. I have a bunch. Yeah. I have like a couple button-up shirts that have like, you know, bells, and I have like a bunch of Christmas shirts because my wife likes Christmassy stuff.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, I mean, I appreciate the pageantry of Christmas, I'll say. I don't appreciate the commercialization of Christmas at all, but I do appreciate some of the pageantry of it, right? Like the decorations and the lights. I can appreciate somebody who's gone outside and really worked hard on their house to make it cool looking and bright and cheerful. And, you know, I just wonder, you know, if people are colorblind. I've seen some houses, dude. I'm like, did you look at this after you turned it on, or did you just give up and just say, I got this?
They probably did. They were just like, man, I'm tired.
You've seen them though, right? Like they'll have like all white lights here, blue lights here, and then 27 different color lights across the roof. And then they'll have 8 different Santa Clauses, all different like period Santa Clauses. And then they got like one reindeer and 6 sleighs. And then there's a Halloween decoration out there for no reason.
There's this guy down the street here.
Are you talking about the dude that like lines it up in his driveway, the big candles and all the
Were like, people were just giving it. They kept dropping them off at his place.
And he keeps using them.
He's like, I don't understand. We talked
to him. Merry friggin' Christmas, he's like, bro.
Well, everybody keep dropping them off, so I guess I'm just going to put them all up. Yeah. What the hell? You know, it's funny. But
all right. So I have another important question. Worst Christmas movie of all time.
No, dude. Anything on Lifetime?
Yeah, I was going to say just Hallmark in general Christmas movies.
I really found Home Alone annoying the other, because this was not too long ago when the girls were introduced to it. I have to say that was probably, I didn't get to watch all of it because, oh darn, I had to go back to work, but.
Shucky darn.
that really annoyed the crap out of me for the beginning part of it, right? When he gets left, like up till they leave for vacation. I just was like, Oh, this is
the, how terrible a parent are
this
you?
This is just stupid. You know,
terrible a parent are you that you get all the way to New York and you forgot your kid? You are a terrible parent. That parent would go to jail.
Yeah. Anyway, so that ranks up there. I will say though, I really like the Christmas Chronicles on Netflix with Kurt Russell.
Is that the one where he's Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I do like those.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Those are cool.
But you really cannot beat though, like the original Miracle on 34th Street, It's a Wonderful Life, A Christmas Story, with, you know, the old.
You know, I gotta say, I kind of got wore out when they started doing the 24 hours of A Christmas Story on TBS, and nobody would change the friggin' channel. But I gotta say, and again, I might be the only person that this is their all time favorite Christmas movie, and that's George C. Scott's A Christmas Carol. That's, to me, that's a perfect period movie.
It's George C. Scott for one, but also too, just the whole story is cool. Like,
yeah,
the whole Christmas Carol just story in itself is just really neat and I think imaginative. I liked Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's still up there.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Still up there.
Save the neck for me, Clark.
But I will say my favorite Christmas movie, Die Hard.
Yeah. That's the best Christmas movie of all time. And yes, for all of you people that are saying Die Hard is not a Christmas movie, shut it. It's the greatest Christmas. Nakatomi Plaza, baby.
I can't help it. That's just
Nakatomi Plaza.
I love Die Hard, dude. It's just a great freaking 80s action movie.
It's just awesome. Bruce Willis at his peak, right? Like, I don't think he ever did anything as good as that movie after he did that movie.
I liked all the Die Hards, dude. I could watch all of them. Now, to be fair, Live Free or Die Hard was really dumb. Its concept and the way it was, like, it just doesn't.
Is that the one where it was his son?
No, but that was dumb too.
Yeah, that one was
Live Free Die Hard was that computer virus, that hacker guy who was going to take down everything, took control of this and that and all this stuff. And
I will say that there's a special place in my heart for the Die Hard with a Vengeance, the one with Samuel L. Jackson. I thought that was great.
Yeah. I thought
that was one of the better Die Hards, where it was the Hans's brother, Hans Gruber's brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Nothing like a brother revenge plot, right?
Now,
you know,
but does any of that compare to the claymation Christmas movie? What was it called? Claymation Christmas or something like
that. First of all, you just said claymation.
I did.
I'm not sure I know what you're talking about.
The one with the raisins, the
same. Oh, the California raisins?
Yeah, that was
cool. My grandmother was a huge California raisins fan.
Yeah.
She had all those ones that they sold at McDonald's. She would go up there and just buy. That's back when they would sell you the toys if you wanted to buy them separately. So my grandmother would go over there up there every time a new raisin was released and buy that raisin. Did you know those things are, if they're in the package, they're actually worth some money? It's kind of nuts. It's amazing what people place value on in this world. But anyway, worst Christmas special of all time would be the Star Wars Christmas special. That was awful.
It almost as bad as the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas holiday thing.
I would call Guardians of the Galaxy's Christmas special a masterpiece compared to the Star Wars Christmas special.
It probably is, but still.
Still bad.
Like, it was like a low budget, hey, we got them on contract still, so let's do something.
We're going to milk them for something to make it worth our money.
Oh gosh, man, it was dumb, dude. It was so dumb.
I love the old Frosty the Snowman cartoon, and you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and all those. Those are great, man. Like, this, they just don't make anything like that anymore. Like, everything is so high res, and there's no nostalgia to it anymore. Charlie Peanut Butter, the Peanuts Christmas.
I mean, but yet, like. I was watching the new Netflix series called Secret Level the other day.
Secret Level.
Yeah. And what is that? They're like animated shorts, really. Yeah. They're only like 10, 15 minutes long, or even, I don't even remember. But they take like certain video games and model a story of that and like have an animated story for it.
like legitimate video games?
Yeah, like Warhammer 40K was like, they had like a particular short story for that. They had one for MechWarrior, Armored Core or MechWarrior, one of those kind of things, and Dungeons and Dragons and something else. But they were like these little Pac-Man, they had one for that or whatever. I mean, like, they're just, not all of them were great, but like, it was just imaginative, and I thought it was really interesting for there. And I haven't watched all of them yet, but the Pac-Man one was really freaky. It's not a for kids thing, by the way.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm. Most Netflix things aren't, unless it's for Netflix kids. All right, so if you could bring back one Christmas thing from the past, something that you enjoyed and is no longer around. It can be a toy. It can be a show. It can be a tradition. What would it be?
My grandparents' farm.
Yeah.
just let me have the farm back.
Dude.
That's it.
Evil Knievel.
No.
Jump motorcycle toy. My favorite toy of all time. Because I literally would smash it into everything. I would try to see if Evil Knievel could jump the house. And it didn't matter how many times you, because you had to push it to get the wheels going. I'm out there working like, it's going to make me money. And
I remember like, I went through this RC car phase. Like yeah. I really, 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 really was into RC cars like when I was a kid. And my dad kept trying to buy me like these RC cars. And he would find the best one he could find, right?
Yeah.
And they were just all junk. They would like, either the battery needed to be recharged, like after like 5 minutes of it or something, it would take like all day or, so I fondly remember just like my dad being so frustrated that he spent all this money on my RC car and it was like, it was junk, you know, all the time. I do remember that. And, you know, when I got a little older, he was like, hey, you want any of the gas ones or whatever, you know, because they had those little miniature gas ones and stuff. And we never got, at that point I was like going away from it anyway. But
yeah. All right. So favorite Christmas gift of all time.
I don't know, man. I really don't. Cause you know, when you're a kid, it's like every Christmas is amazing.
Yeah. Don't have to be when you were a kid.
I know.
Be as an adult.
But like, even as an adult, man, I mean, I don't get a lot of things because we're buying stuff. Yeah. I will say that there's been some gifts where someone made me something.
Yeah.
And those I've always cherished. Now I can't even think of one off the top of my head right now, but I mean, I know there's been a few of those, right? It didn't matter if that was a food or if that was like a particularly food. I mean, like, you know, I know my mother-in-law's made me like some stuff and I've been like, you know, that was always been, but vacations, like where we go somewhere to visit someone on Christmas.
Yeah.
In the past, that's been one of my favorite things to do. Cause you get to go visit family and stuff and you do all that on, you know, somebody's doing that for you that I never could have a more appreciative for, but things, you know, not really, man. I can't think of a thing. And I know there's been things but I can't think of anything.
My favorite Christmas gift of all time was, all right, I'm going to spill some beans here. I was huge into skateboarding for a very long time. Loved to skateboard. Me and a friend built like a half pipe in his backyard. I mean, I was all about skateboarding. And my grandfather hated that sport. He was like, bunch of wusses out there pedaling around on wood planks, blah, 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 blah. Well, one year I asked for a Santa Cruz Tony Hawk special edition skateboard with titanium trucks, best bearings, best wheels. This skateboard was like $400. And back then that's like $1,500 now. And my grandparents literally bought this thing. And I skated on that board for 4.5 years until it snapped in half. And I was so upset and angry when it finally caved. I ground so many rails. I did so many ollies. I did so many kick flips on that board. And then we're all skating behind the mall. And I do a kick flip and come down and it snaps in half. And I just fell apart. I was like, you've got to be kidding
me. Yeah, dude, it was 4.5 years, man.
4.5 years of 7 days a week skating on that board.
That's like, pretty awesome, dude.
It was so great and such. And I remember because it was the first time my grandfather had ever put aside his expectation and said, all right, Brian is really into this. And he's been into it for a while now. And for my grandparents to spend $400 on a Christmas gift was absolutely unheard of. And they bought that board, and I wouldn't have stopped skating if I could have, just because I that board, man. And I remember opening it and being stunned, like not even being able to respond, because it was almost like they were telling me, yeah, we get it. Go skate. And I was like, dude, I'm all over it. It was so great, man. It was so cool. I just remember that really for me, I remember my wife and I used to buy each other stuff when we first got married, and we did the whole Schmidt and Christmas thing. And,
yeah, we never did.
But then that kind of faded away. Really what I want for Christmas is to be with my kids and my wife. That's really all I really want for Christmas is if they're with me, I'm okay.
Yeah. I mean, like I need to see, I want to have family time.
Yeah.
And do that. But generally speaking, when we go over to my like mother-in-law's on Christmas, the kids just run around.
Yeah.
Their cousins.
And well, they got like the four-wheelers over there and all that stuff. And they got stuff to do.
Sometimes.
Right?
Yeah. You know. Sometimes they're not. They really just run around and play and all that kind of stuff,
which is cool. It's awesome.
And so it's not like you're hanging out with your kids though.
Yeah. It's adults and kids are with kids.
But,
right.
But the good thing is like, so here's the thing about me and my family, though, is like we hang out.
Yeah.
Like, and really, and I'll be honest, like legitimately, it's usually like Mama has Friday night movie nights with the girls. She's done that for a long time now. Yeah. Every Friday night is girls' night, girls' movie night, yep. Right? They make popcorn, they have chocolate milk, and they lay in our bed and they watch a movie, right?
That's awesome.
That's been their Friday night thing forever. And the girls look forward to it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy, dude. Yeah. All the time. Is it movie night yet?
Oh yeah, dude.
Well, and so me and the girls, we don't do anything on a regular schedule like that, but there's every once in a while, and it's like, I don't know, probably once a month, right? I'll take the girls out to like lunch or something. Man, that's the best, dude. Or if Julie's feeling bad, so if, like after she has a procedure or something, I'll take them to like the zoo.
Yeah.
And it's just me and the girls or we'll go up. They love Bass Pro Shop, dude. They freaking love Bass Pro Shop. They want to go to the Bass Pro Shop all the time. They call it the fish store.
Well, because there's live fish there, man.
And they just love going to it. So we'll go up to Bass Pro, you know, and just hang out and do all this stuff. That's what I, you know, that's what we do, right?
Yeah. So if I could give advice to people, and I'm guilty of it, man. When I first got married and the kids came along, I was so focused on, I had this thing in my head where I had to be successful. I had to be the best at what I was doing. And I usually was best salesperson on the floor, best, you know, numbers, all that stuff. I gave up so much doing that, and I truly have regret. Like, I'm like, I gave up a lot doing that. You know, somebody asked me the other day, what's the best advice you could give a new family on Christmas? And I said, man, I don't care how tired you are. I don't care how frustrating it is. I don't care how much you're traveling, man, just be present with them, you know, love them, be present with them, be patient with them. You know, I remember a few Christmases, this was about 5 years ago. We had just gotten back together with my dad and I had been sick for 3 months. I was working for a company and I had just been on the sick for 3 months, but I was going into work every day. And we were driving home from Stanford, Kentucky and got lost. I mean, and this was the odyssey, dude. Like Julie calls me, she's in a panic. She's like, so my muffler's falling off. So I'm like, oh, it's snow. It's pouring snow, dude. It's like 10 o'clock at night on Christmas Eve. It's pouring snow. So I get her to pull off. We pull off on this just gnarled up dark country road, right? Like, it's just ridiculous. And she's caught a limb under her car. Her muffler didn't fall off. She's dragging a limb. So I'm coughing up lung butter like nobody's business. And I'm under her car pulling this limb out. And so we wound up taking a little over 3 hours to get home, which on a drive that should have taken about 45 minutes. Because we actually wound up going through Somerset, through Berea, coming out on the interstate and going all the way around to her parents' house. But the thing I remember most about that was Caleb was in the back seat of the car. My oldest was in the back seat of the car. And I remember him being very upset because he was scared. I mean, it was slippery. It was a bad situation. And I looked back at him and I said, it was the first time I ever realized the power of security with my kids. Cause I looked back at him, I said, Caleb, it's going to be all right. Just curl up and go to sleep. And before you know it, we'll be at grandma's house. And I remember turning back around 5 minutes later and he was asleep. And I was like, I realized that my son actually took solace in the fact that he felt safe with me. And of all the, I was sick. Like I was like, it was all I could do to keep myself on 2 feet. And I drove home. We went to sleep that night. I got the next morning. I think I wound up going to the emergency room, driving home from Julie's parents that night, because I was like, I don't know that I can go any further. Wound up, I had double impacted sinus cavities, bronchitis. The girl told me, she goes, another week and you would have been full on pneumonia. She says, you weren't going to go much further. I was on antibiotics. I had to be on like this breathing stuff. But I just remember, you know, be present, man. That's what I tell, you know, I got a guy that I work with and he's got young kids and he's like, oh, this, and we got to go. I was like, yeah, but that's all circumstantial, man. They don't want your presence. They don't want your money. They want you to be focused and attentive, and they want to know that you're engaged. And that's what I would tell any young family, man. When you got young kids, you can't get that back. Like there's no going back in time and doing it all over
again. I get to put my kids to bed every night.
Yeah.
They want daddy to tuck them in every single night. Right. And at this age, 8 and 9, I mean, that's dude, I'm prime parent time. Right.
Yeah.
So no, I don't miss it. I'm like, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. There's a few times every once in a while, I'm like, hey, let me say goodnight to you because I got daddy's got this to do or whatever. But almost always, it's just I look forward to it just as much as they do. And it's just cool to just, you know, they go lay down in bed. I get to go in there, tuck them in, tell them I love them, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Love that, dude. We'll love that till it is. But around Christmas time, man, I mean, it's so different with kids, dude, because like when you don't have young kids, there's none of this like anticipation or like chaotic, like happy, positive anxiety over looking forward to something or whatever. You're just thinking about where you got to go and what you got to see and all this. I mean, it's a different type of holiday when you're there. Right.
Yeah.
But now that I got this, you know, I'm seeing this side of it. I don't know. This is so much better than just being a single dude or newly married with no kids or whatever and running around seeing people. This is so much better. It's just so much better.
Yeah, it's just so much better.
It doesn't even have a same scale, man. It's just It's just insane. But you know, you really that's what I mean. Like you know, Christmas is a way we tell the kids like what Christmas actually is.
Yeah,
and of course I'm like, well, you know, Julie's like, don't go into all the stuff about the Yule log and the tree and ball and the pagan stuff and all this stuff. Well, okay, so fine. You know, then I can't do all that. But eventually when they get older, y'all, they're going
to
hear it.
Well, I mean, I think too, this goes back to me, it's kind of like the whole Halloween thing. Like, you know, I've met so many Christian parents who are so dead set on not allowing their kids to enjoy Christmas. Because they think if they, you know, play a Christmas song or if they put up a Christmas decoration, that somehow they're dishonoring their faith. You know, love your kids enough to tell them the truth, but also love them enough to know that they're kids.
Yeah, but
you know,
but yeah, I think we you still got to keep in mind, man. There, I think there's a lot of things that we think are trivial that might not be just trivial, right? Because I mean, Satan's whole idea is to deceive you into thinking it's not a big deal, that it doesn't mean that much, right? You got to be careful. If you think it's in the middle ground,
yeah,
don't do it.
Well, for me, it's not even about me. Like when my kids asked about Santa Claus, and I was honest. No, there's not a Santa Claus, you know. Sorry if anybody's kids are watching this. They shouldn't be, but, you know, and I've always been truthful about the meaning of Christmas, but I'm also not that guy, and I've known plenty of them, that we're going to solemnly and without joy celebrate the death or the birth of Christ, and we're going to sit around and silently stare at each other in remorseful. Dude, give it a break, man.
No, we celebrate his birth, man.
Yeah, we celebrate his birth. You know,
you celebrate his death on the cross and his resurrection.
And let me tell you, man, don't ever sleep on the power of a really good Christmas Eve service. You know, I've been in some bad spots before, and I show up for Christmas Eve service, and you just, do you feel that unity and that worship and that praise that goes on a Christmas Eve service, and it'll bring you back. Like, you know,
we used to go to, I forgot what Christmas service we used to go to. Early Christmas Eve, maybe before we went to I don't remember now, but I know when I was young, my mom used to take us to a sunrise Easter service. So we'd have to get up early, right?
Oh, and boo.
Go to the sunrise Easter service.
I don't want to go to no early service on Christmas.
No, it's on Easter. I'm talking about Easter. That's when we used to do that.
Yeah.
And I used to hate getting up that early. It was like before the sun was up and everything, because you're getting up there. It's a sunrise. But looking back on it, I'm thinking, well, that was probably a good idea. But I don't know what Christmas service we'll end up going to. I mean, I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet, because I don't know when we're going to be able to be fair. Never. But it's yeah. Church is another thing that, like, I think, I don't know. Like, a lot of churches, like, build up to the Christmas services, but they don't do too much. Like, it just, like, where's the Christmas feast?
Yeah. Where's the community dinner where everybody gets together and breaks bread together? And,
yeah.
You know, I think that's a big missing thing, right? Like, and here's the thing too. You know, I've never been to many churches that have like a Christmas Day service, but shouldn't we celebrate on the day of his birth, not the night before his
Southeast
birth?
Southeast did. They used to have, you know, like three services on Christmas.
But I tell people all the time, it's, you know, this is a time to find center with your spirituality, right? Like, this, we are at the point where the thing that saved us, the person, the gift that was given to save our eternal souls was born. Well, he wasn't born on December 25th. We've just made that.
It's around that,
but we don't know that it's exactly the 25th. No. But, you know, it's that day that we look and go, yeah, this is the reason I believe this is where my spirituality, you know, was born and comes from. And my salvation came from this day, right? Like, you know, God blessed us with the ability to be forgiven of all of our trespasses and eternal life. And yeah, it's absolutely something that needs to be celebrated. But what I would also tell you to do is, and this is for the men out there. We're not normally big singers and worshipers. We usually I look around the church and there's a few dudes in there, you know, letting it fly. But for the most part, most of the guys are kind of standing there all like, I sing on Christmas Eve.
I do not sing.
Good Christmas Eve service, dude. I sing because that's, you know, I'm singing. I'm saying thank you, man. Worship is worship.
I know right? that, and I'm fine to be worshiping, but I don't worship singing.
You know,
I don't sing. I just don't. It's just not my thing. I don't. That's God didn't make me to be a singer. I've never felt the urge to sing. Dude.
He made you to be a drummer.
I know.
But he made me to sing, but I'm a terrible singer. Like. What was weird though is when I was younger, I could sing pretty well. Like, I did garage bands and, you know, we did some singing
stuff. I was in choir when I was.
As I got older, it just got less and less.
Well, you know what happened, right? When I was a kid, I was in the choir and I did all that and I sang all the time.
Yeah.
And then I got to the point where my voice started to change. And then I went to this one choir rehearsal that I couldn't, I was like straining really deep. It was really hard for me to sing what they wanted me. So I dropped it down an octave.
Yeah.
And the choir director like had a real big problem with it. It was like, who's doing that? And it scared the shit out of me. And I didn't sing anymore. And I think I still carried on. I just don't sing because I just got so. Yeah. It's just like that, man. I just don't do it.
Yeah, but you play the drums.
I do play the drums.
Like, I have no musical instrument talent whatsoever. Like, I have trouble playing the tambourine, dude. Like, it's that, you know.
I know, man. But look, so it's Merry Christmas to everybody.
It is, and you know, here's another question for you. Let's end on this question, Reggie. Shoot. If you could encourage somebody out there who's struggling with their spirituality to do something during the holidays, what would that encouragement be? And let's remember, I'm talking about someone who may either have a very loose grasp on what their spirituality is or may just be in the beginning of kind of starting to wonder what this is all about, or somebody who has no spirituality at all. What would you recommend for that person to do during this season?
Do something or some things out of charity. Make sure it's a sacrifice for something of yours, whether it be time, money, or whatever. Make sure, though, however you're serving, serve it with complete and utter charity.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest thing I could say. There is nothing like a selfless act of charity that can change your whole perspective.
One thing I would encourage too is, you know, don't keep score. I have never given anything with the expectation to get anything in return, because that's not giving, that's bargaining. That's bartering. You're just telling the other person that you're not telling them yet that they owe you something. You know, give something. Just, you know, find somebody who's hurting and give them your time. Take them a meal. Take them a gift. Take them something just to say, hey, man, I'm thinking about you or her. I'm thinking about you. And I think Reggie's right. Like, just do something sacrificial. Do something to say, this isn't about me, this is about you.
Also, too, if you, like, have questions, like, about things, okay? So, like, let's say you're searching and you want answers and you have specific doubts or stuff, then I would say reach out to someone, if you know someone who's a mature Christian or even a pastor.
Yeah.
And have coffee and ask those questions. Now, the problem with me saying that, it's that a lot of times there's a lot of, I don't know how I would say it, uneducated answers to those questions. So I guess I would say, if you can't find an answer to those type of things, send us a message.
Yeah.
Or a comment.
Yeah. We'll be glad to respond.
I don't claim to be some, you know, biblical scholar or anything, but I've been around enough to know quite a bit of people and knowledge and studied it and everything else. So I'm sure I could find an answer for you in some way or another, but don't let little silly, cause I'll tell you that when you boil down to arguments about, intelligent design or the reality of Jesus or
predestination or all that garbage,
any theological term other than that, there's always evidence that points that is used. It's the same evidence and it's just used different ways. So anyway, it's just to see, I think we're coming off of this year that's been kind of, man, it's been so interesting in the world, especially with the election and with all the stuff going on and the continual stuff like that. Just it's just bizarre stuff that just happens all the time anymore.
Yeah.
Here's an example, just because I found this hilarious earlier today. Tulsa City Council invited a hostess of the goddess to pray. What was it? Prayer to a serpent to dedicate the city to Satan.
Yikes.
Right? Yikes. I just read that on the, it was an article that was posted. Whether or not that's fictitious or not, I really think it sounds like a satire, but at the same token anymore, you're like, maybe it's not. And then the first lesbian bishop in Stockholm.
Yeah, said time to take out the crosses and put in the Muslims.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Come on.
What a time to be alive, bro.
Come on. Come on. Oh, come on.
Hey, you know what I said? I leaned to Julia and said, hey, check this out. And she goes, what? And I said, yeah, this is one of those FAFO moments, yeah. Right? Where you do something stupid like that, and then what happens? You find out, man.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but one of the things I'll do, and also I'd like to send some encouragement out to the churches. Pastors, this is a very busy time. Elders, deacons, this is a very busy time. Leaders in the church, and you're going to get caught up in this being a busy time. But heartbreak, I believe that the devil uses heartbreak at a very high level and loneliness at a very high level as a weapon during this holiday season.
Oh, for sure.
And you guys have got to have your radar up, man. You got to be looking for those people that are hurting. You got to slow it down and say, hey, you know, I need to be on the lookout for those people that are, because, man, you can usually tell when somebody's struggling, especially this time of year.
Well, on that subject, this is why I feel like I got to find a church that I'm going to be able to serve in substantially, because there's not enough leaders that are being they're found wanting, or they're just, it was the last only hope or whatever, you know, if I can, why am I not doing it?
Well, the first thing that I would say is too, is that we have a real epidemic of untrained leadership within the church.
And it's not, look, they do the best they can, man. I don't want to say.
Well, and I'm now I'll disagree with that. I will disagree with that. When you're going to put somebody in a position of leadership within a church, there needs to be some level, at least, of provable spiritual awareness.
I agree.
That was within that person. And then there needs to be some effort from the church to further educate their leaders in how to handle the things that are coming from. You and I have both been in churches where leadership is lacking because they were given honorary positions with no power, no ability, and no education as to what that position could do and how that position could help. And I see that happening more and more inside the churches.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
And now, am I saying that it's going to be perfect? No, but there is definitely a very big gap in what is actual church leadership and actual church growth, and what is perceived as church leadership and what is perceived as church growth. Those are two different things completely. And I think any church, every church is not doing enough. If you got resources to put up a lighted sign that you can program with a little keypad, then you got enough time to sit down with your elders and your deacons and say, hey guys, here's what you should be looking out for. Here's what you should be doing while you're in church. Here's what you should be doing when you're shepherding outside of church. And this is a good way to do it.
What I'm talking about, there's a lot, and I know a lot of pastors, they're just overworked to the point where they're completely exhausted, completely just wore out. And they don't have any time or space or whatever to really put what they have, because there's no one else taking up the mantle of leadership or even some sort. Right. And we got to understand, we live in such a prolific church area, right? Yeah. I mean, so there's so many churches, dude, and not all of them can have, you know, guys who write books and speeches and stuff like that. But
they can all have ways
they can
to help the current leadership become better leaders.
But I think that's where God is going to have something to do with that, is what I'm saying, right? If you're praying and fasting and doing the things that a pastor should be doing, God will find a way to grow your church or what find a way to do stuff. And I think being open to that. But what happens in particular with like the Christmas holidays, it's the biggest thing. Well, there's two of them, right? You have Easter, you have Christmas.
Yeah.
Resurrection Sunday, birth of Christ. So these two things are what the churches are looking forward to planning and everything else, because those are the biggest events they have of the year. Mm-hmm. And so those, for the small church that doesn't have much, they don't have much money, they don't have much people, they don't have a lot of time, man, this is a struggle to do anything. And yeah. I think that they really need, they just need some help. Now, thankfully, they're not doing it alone, but I'm just saying, you know, men need to be aware that they're, you know, sometimes it's uncomfortable, but you need to step up. If you a mature Christ follower who's got a good foundation of what the gospel is, you know, it may be time for you to take on some additional leadership inside whatever church you belong to.
Fair enough.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm thinking even for me, like I guess I just haven't done it, and I need to. It's just land on the church, make that my home, serve whatever I can, and just make myself useful. I got to do that, dude. So, anyway, look, we're R&B Talks. Merry Christmas. Leave a comment if you have any questions or
like, concerns. Subscribe, thumbs up,
whatever it may be. But
and seriously, if you're struggling, reach out. We'd love to help.
That's all for now.
I'm Brian.
I'm Reggie.
Thanks, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.